Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
We live in a time where social media has become the preferred method of communication and of social interaction for a large number of people around the world. Many of those people spend a lot of time on those sites. Some of them are even fearful that if they stay away too long, they're going to miss something important. But they don't really know if what they are being told is true or accurate or even reliable. They develop contacts. They call it a network of people. Some may even say they're developing relationships. But these are just casual relationships because there is no personal contact or very little contact. And some people like it that way. So there are just quick, passing comments. A word or two punctuated by another set of quick, passing comments. And many in the church have been swept up in this virtual community, when the reality is our church family is the community. This is the community that God has designed for us. This is our social network, the real network of those who belong to Christ. Because this is the place where our deepest personal relationships develop. Relationships because we are part of the body of Christ. Is that the way it really is in the church today? What's happened? What has happened to the bond in the church? We're to be His family. We're held together by Christ, aren't we? By His love? By our love for each other because of Him? And you know, these are the real relationships, because these are the relationships that will continue all the way into eternity. So, as with any family, there is a need for us to develop and to maintain the right kind of relationships. And as Paul begins 1 Timothy chapter 5, that is his focus. He wants to talk to Timothy about God-honoring relationships in the body of Christ. As a leader in the church in Ephesus, how is Timothy to interact with the variety of people that were found in that fellowship? How is he to deal with the issues that were sure to surface? How is he to handle discipline in the church? And this instruction that Paul gives to Timothy is of great value for us today because it will help us in our relationships with each other, our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Since Timothy was a man who was in his mid to late 30s and was leading men who might be twice his age, how was he to correct them? How was he to instruct them? It might be difficult for them to be under the authority of a man who was half their age. So in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, first thing Paul tells Timothy is what not to do. He says, do not sharply rebuke an older man, even if there is a valid reason to do it. Epipleso in Greek. Don't use your words as weapons. Don't attack an older man and beat him into submission with an argumentative spirit and your harsh statements. Timothy, show some restraint. Show some respect for him. It says in 2 Timothy 4:2, we need to confront people with the truth. That is true. But we are told how to do it. We are told to do it with great patience, with long suffering, with endurance, because we know how patient the Lord has been with us. So, Timothy, rather than verbally assaulting this man, appeal to him, Paul says. Parakaleo. Come alongside him. The word that was used to describe a military commander who would come alongside of his troops in the middle of a battle to encourage them to go on to victory. It's also a word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The one who comes alongside of us. Comes alongside of us, why? To strengthen us. To help us. Not to hurt us. Not to crush us. Not to beat us down. So Timothy, approach these older men in that way, as you would approach a father. How would you approach your father? With respect. With consideration, with kindness, with love. Who knows? Lord might teach us something, because there is wisdom in a mature man who fears the Lord. But what about the men who are your own age, maybe a little younger? How are you supposed to approach them? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 18? If your brother sins, go to him. Go to him and correct that brother. In the same way, Timothy, you need to go to the younger men in the fellowship and to minister God's word to them. But remember, Timothy, how you are to approach them. Approach them as brothers in Christ. Be devoted to them, says in Romans 12:10. Show them brotherly love. Prefer one another. Honor one another. Appreciate one another in humility, because they are brothers in Christ. Is that how we treat each other? Timothy, I know there are older women in the fellowship. The older women you are to treat as mothers. How would you treat your own mother? How would you correct her? Well, you would encourage her, but you'd do it with gentleness, wouldn't you? You'd do it with respect. You would urge her, maybe even beg her to live a life in harmony with the truth, because she is to be an example. But Timothy, you would love her. Show the older women in the fellowship that kind of love, the kind of love that you would show to your own mother. Timothy, there is a fourth group that you need to deal with. And Timothy, you need to be careful how you minister to these women. These are the younger women in the church. And how should you look at them? Look at them as sisters. Look at them as you would look at your own sister. And Timothy, how would you look at your own sister? Be careful of your thoughts. Be careful of your behavior. Because you need to approach this woman, it says, with all purity, with hagnia, with innocence, with moral uprightness, with holiness. So watch out, Timothy, that you are not influenced by her appearance. Watch out that you aren't influenced by her flattering words, or even by your own appropriate thoughts and desires. Because you know, Timothy, that would be like spiritual incest in the body of Christ. And that takes place in the family of God even today. Timothy, don't even give the appearance of evil. These are the relationships that we are to develop in the church. This is the environment that we are to promote. This is our social network. This is the way we communicate with each other. This is what is to characterize the church. Consideration, love, honor, respect. But in order to do that, We have to have a personal relationship with each other. We can't just do that online, or we can't do that just a few minutes a week. Social media does have its place in this world, but it cannot replace the church. And during the time that Paul wrote this letter, there was another group of women, another group of people that he wanted to address. And you know, he devotes the next 14 verses in this chapter to these women. These are the widows in the church. A group of women who were perhaps very special to Paul, because before he came to know the Lord, he violently persecuted the church, and he was responsible perhaps for making some of those women widows. But in addition to that, throughout the Bible, we see the affection that the Lord has for widows. Deuteronomy 27:19 tells us that cursed is he who distorts justice and who does not give that justice to a foreigner, to an orphan, and to a widow. Isaiah 1:17 tells us we need to learn to do good. We need to seek justice. We need to reprove the ruthless. We need to defend the orphan, and we need to plead for the widow. God cares about widows. Remember in Luke chapter 21, Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. He was in the court of the women opposite the treasury. And he observed, it says, a poor widow, Panikros in Greek, one who was barely surviving day to day. And you know the story. That when she gave her offering, she gave two small coins, and we're told she gave all that she had. You get the idea. Many widows in that day were extremely poor. They were widows. Kera, in Greek. A woman who no longer had a husband. But unlike our English word for widow, which tells us her husband is dead, this word in Greek, kera, just tells her that he was no longer there. And since there were no life insurance policies, and there was no pension fund, there were no social security benefits, no disability checks, since honorable employment for women was almost non-existent, since we're told in Mark chapter 12 that even the leaders in the church or in the synagogue, the leaders in the nation of Israel would try to defraud widows of their property, of their homes. And since there was no recourse for them before the law, these women were on their own. So it is the church, Paul tells us, who is to help these women who are believers and who are part of the local fellowship. Honor those widows, Paul says in verse 3. Timao, in Greek. Value them. Appreciate their worth. And show that you care about them in a practical way. Reach out to them and help them to meet their needs. Those, he says, who are widows indeed. Ontos, those who are truly alone. Those who have no other means of support. But Timothy, you need to first look to the family of this woman. Evaluate the situation there. If there is any widow among you who has children, technon, adult children, that's men or women, or if she even has grandchildren, it says, ekonos, descendants of any kind. If there's anybody in the family before God, it is their responsibility to care for this woman. It's the responsibility of the family. So let them put their faith into action. Let them first, it says in verse 4, prodos. Let it be the priority of their life to learn, to keep learning, to keep understanding that their faith is to be demonstrated by their action. They must learn to practice piety, Paul says. Eusebeo, worship. This is true worship. This is true godliness. If they reach out to the widows who are in their family in regard to their own household. Why? Paul says so that they can make some return to their parents. Apadidomi. So they can give back something to this woman. To give back to her for all the years she cared for them. How she sacrificed for them. How she provided a godly example to them. What's Paul saying? Our godliness begins at home. He says, for this is acceptable. This is apodektos. This is to be welcomed. God welcomes and receives this because it is more than adequate. It is the right thing to do in the sight of God. And a peon, as we stand before him, as he sees us face to face, we will give an account for how we have treated the widows in our family. But the fact is, not all widows in the church have relatives who can assist them. So now, if this woman is a widow indeed, if she is truly alone, and she has suffered the loss of her husband, and she is grief-stricken without him, and she has been left alone, he says, Manol, she's without anyone. She has no family. She has no one. Timothy, look at this woman carefully and look to see if she is a woman of faith. Because it will be seen in her life. It will be seen in her character. Because she has fixed her hope. Elpizo. She has nothing. She has no one. So she looks to Christ alone and places her trust in him. And she continues, Paul says. Prosmeno, she waits. She endures. She abides in Christ. She is a woman who is devoted to him, looking to him in entreaties, in beasis, in pleading, in asking, in falling on her knees, submitting her life to Christ. And in her prayers, her prosuke, in her praise. There'll be praise, there'll be thanksgiving, there'll be worship from the mouth of this woman. And it won't just be once in a while, Paul says. She will do this day and night, all the time. This is the character of a woman of God. This is her attitude as she lives her life in prayer with a heart that trusts and hopes in Christ. This is a widow indeed. But not all widows are like that, are they? And there are widows in the church, Paul says, who don't trust the Lord like that. A widow, says in verse 6, who gives herself to wanton pleasure. Spatalao. This is a woman whose life is out of control. She's indulging herself with all her desires without any regard to Christ. This is a widow who has abandoned herself to wickedness, to recklessness, and who has ignored what's right before the Lord. You can't support a widow like that. You can't support her in her sin. Because Paul says she is spiritually dead even while she physically lives. And God will need to deal with her. She will reap what she's sown. And be sure that God will chasten her. Timothy, verse 7. You need to prescribe these things, paragelo. Transmit the message. Instruct those in the church in Ephesus. Command them to follow these things as well. So that all those in the church, the families, the widows, the leadership there, the body of Christ, so that everyone there might be above reproach. Anapilaptos, without blame before Christ. So that no one will bring shame and disgrace on him. But if anyone has a widow in their family, a godly woman who knows Christ, and the family, the head of that family, does not provide for his own widows, and especially those of his own household, even a mother, a grandmother, then he has denied the faith. Arneomai, he claims that he belongs to Christ. And he claims he's walking according to the love of God. Yet his words are not consistent with his life, with his actions. And so Paul says he is worse. He is Kiron. He is more harmful than even an unbeliever, a apistos, as one who has no faith at all. Why? Well, because unbelievers don't claim to know Christ. They don't claim to have faith. Yet Paul says they have compassion for their mother. They have compassion for a grandmother. They're willing to do what is right. But if you don't help these widows, then your conduct does not even measure up to the conduct of an unbeliever. It's a strong indictment. But if a woman is a widow indeed and is truly alone and she has no family, she has no one, and she is a godly woman, well, let that woman be considered for the list. The catalogueo, where we get our English word catalog. The word that was used to describe a list of soldiers, list of warriors who were heading into battle, but this is a list of women. This is an army of widows. Those who may need to be given financial support if it's necessary, but those who are to devote themselves to the ministry in the church. But Paul says, verse 9, that a widow should only be added to this list, these ranks of warriors, if she is not less than 60 years old. That doesn't mean a woman who is less than 60 years old couldn't receive some financial help, some temporary support. But these older women apparently had taken a vow before the Lord not to remarry, and instead they chose to serve him for the rest of their life. Perhaps like Anna. Remember Anna in Luke chapter 2. She was 84 years old, and it says that she lived with her husband for 7 years, and her husband died. And after he died, she spent the rest of her life in the temple. And what was she doing? It says serving the Lord with fastings and with prayers. These are women like that. Women who are on the list. Women who have vowed to serve the Lord for the rest of their life and not be remarried. But this woman, Paul says, not only must be a woman to meet a certain age requirement. It says she has to have been the wife of one man. This is the same phrase, the parallel construction we found back in chapter 3. except it was used there to describe elders and deacons. This time it's applied to these women. She needs to be or have been a one-man woman. A woman who was faithful to her husband. A woman who was devoted to her husband while she was married to him. And only to him. A woman who has a reputation, Paul says. A martyreo. A testimony. A testimony among the church for good works, for kalos ergon, for excellent behavior. This woman has to be a woman who has a beautiful demeanor, a godly spirit. She should be considered for the list. She should be considered if she has brought up children. Technot phoreo. If by her example, the example of her life and her words, she has raised and nurtured these children to know and to love the Lord. She has to have experience in raising children. She should also be considered if she has shown hospitality to strangers. Exenotoheo. If she has love and compassion for all in the body of Christ, regardless of whether she knows them well or not. She has to reach out to people, even to strangers. She is one, Paul says, who has washed the saints' feet. You know, that was a task that was reserved for the lowest of the slaves. But we remember in John chapter 13 that this is an attitude that is necessary and is essential for anyone who is to serve the Lord in humility. To do whatever is required as a servant of Christ. This woman must be like that. This woman should be considered if she has assisted those in distress and relieved those and given them comfort. Those who are under a lot of pressure, she's been there for them. This is a woman who has devoted herself to every good work. Epakoluseo. She has done and continues to do and continues to pursue what is good and what is right and what is pure. That's quite an example. That's a high standard for any of us to follow. But, Paul says, if this woman in the church has met these requirements, then she should be added to the list of women who have been sent out to minister among God's people in the fellowship. That is why they've been added to the list. They don't necessarily need financial support. But they've been added to the list so that they would be an army of widows sent out to minister among God's people. But, Paul says, refuse. Parachethomai. Stop. Don't do this. There's danger. There's a trap if you decide to put younger widows on this list. So don't allow it. Why? Well, because they're young. And they'll feel sensual desires, Paul said. Katastreneo. They'll have urges. They'll have impulses. They will want to free themselves at some point from the vow that they have made before Christ. They'll want to take back their life. They're just too young to be on the list. There was a word that was used to describe a young animal, an ox, that was trying to free itself from the yoke of the plow. That's what they'll be like. They'll want to free themselves from what they consider to be a yoke. It was a good idea at the time to be on this list, but things have changed. Perhaps they see other women being married, living their lives, raising children, happy with their husband. And they will do this. They will rebel, Paul says in verse 11th, in disregard of Christ and the promise that they made before him. Better not to make a vow than to break the vow. This vow won't be a joy anymore to them. It will become like a heavy burden in their life. And they'll want to get married, Paul says. Understandably, right? And thus incurring condemnation, he says, krema, discipline, chastening, judgment, because they have set aside, asateo, they've abandoned and refused to honor the pledge that they have made before the Lord. And it gets worse, Paul tells us. At the same time, since their heart might at this point be miserable, might be miserable with this vow, and maybe even resentful, certainly not devoted to the work, and so they can't minister effectively, and in their lack of maturity, it says in verse 13, they might learn to be idle, argos, careless, lazy, neglecting to fulfill their assignment, not seeing the seriousness of the work that they've been given to do. And so, Paul says, they go around from house to house, peraeromai. They just wander from place to place, no real objective, no purpose. We've used the picture of a ship that was being tossed by the wind in one direction and then in another direction. That's what they're like. But they might not merely be idle, Paul tells us, which would be bad enough, wouldn't it? But their behavior might also damage people, because they might become gossips, he says, flueros, babblers, the word that was used to describe somebody blowing soap bubbles. They're busy, but they're busy doing unimportant things. And not only that, they might become busybodies, Paul says. Periergos. They're curious about things in other people's lives. They're curious, prying into other people's business. Talking about those things, Paul says in verse 13. Laleo, proclaiming that. Talking behind people's back. Whispering about them. Talking about things, he says, that are not even proper to mention. Deomai. Things that are not necessary to talk about. No discretion. Therefore, Paul says in verse 14, here's what really makes sense. If it is God's will for them, I want the younger women to get married again, to bear children. Children are a gift of the Lord. And so this woman will be able to nurture them. She'll have a husband. She'll instruct her children in the things of the Lord. And she will be able to keep house again. Oiko despoteo. She'll be able to maintain, to guide her family, to guide the household. And this will honor the Lord. And so by doing what honors the Lord, because she hasn't been honoring the Lord with what she's been doing, she will not give anyone who is the enemy of Christ, anyone who is an enemy, an occasion, a forma, a platform, a starting point for reproach. No one will be able to use her life and slander the Lord because of her behavior. Because of her. Because the way she's handled her life. So don't place a younger woman on that list, because you are placing her in danger of disgracing Christ. And Paul says this is not just theory here. This is fact. Because he says in verse 15, some of the women in the church in Ephesus have already turned aside. They have ekatrephobi. They've shifted direction. They were serving the Lord. He said they were following Christ. Now they've shifted, and now he says they are following Satan. Maybe that was one of the ways that Satan found his way into the church in Ephesus. So Paul says you can avoid these situations, at least some of them. If any man or any woman, for that matter, who is a believer and who has a dependent widow, let the one who has the resources assist them. Let them assist these widows so that the church is not burdened, bareo, and weighted down. He says, so then we can assist the widows who are without any resources. Godly women who need help. Widows who are, he says, widows indeed. Practical advice, isn't it? Practical teaching. Social media may have its place, but it cannot replace the relationships within the body of Christ. Relationships that belong to us because we belong to Christ. We are a family. We are soldiers of the cross. And yes, we are like an army of widows.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.